Welcome to Wired for Welsh, the podcast for ambitious people with a wild side. If you feel like there's way more to your vision for success than just the money, and you want to create a life of financial freedom and fulfillment where joy comes first, then you're in the right place. I'm Abby Rogers, therapist, mentor, and expert on all things mindset, subconscious, and manifestation. And I'm here to help you create anxiety-free freedom and wealth that aligns with your soul. Let's dive in. Hello there. Good to be back again. So something I've recently introduced in my lovely Facebook community, Muddy Boots and Champagne Flutes, which is not just all about champagne drinking, by the way. It's much more about the muddy boots. And if your tipple is beer or cider or just a cup of tea, then that's absolutely fine. Come and join us if you are somebody who likes a little bit of adventure in their lives. But one thing I've introduced in that group is something called Muddy Inspirational Stories of Success. And this is basically because I've noticed in the years that I've been building my business online that we don't hear enough about the truth behind people's success stories, right? And so often it looks like everybody is just killing it and they're so successful, and we just don't get to see the pain and the stress and struggle behind all of that and the blood, sweat and tears that have gone into so-called overnight success. And not only can that be quite soul-sucking and leave us feeling like we are missing something and contribute to that whole imposter syndrome thing that I so often see, but it can mean that we miss out on all the good stuff, all the useful bits that really help us on our own journeys as well. And the best way to learn is from somebody who's been there and done exactly what you are trying to achieve, right? So what I've decided to do is a monthly interview where I chat openly and honestly in that Facebook group with successful people. And by successful people, I mean people who have created success on their terms. So not just financial success, obviously that's important and hugely aspirational for many people, but it's more about talking to people who have created a life that lights them up and which they feel successful and accomplished, and they've ticked all the boxes, they've achieved what they want, and of course they're still on that journey as well. So I'm really excited to do this and to dig into their stories, find the gold and find the lessons in all of that for you. And I'm so delighted to share this very first Muddy Inspirational interview with the lovely Ruth Kudzi. Ruth has gone from deputy head back in 2016 to running two successful companies and creating no less than seven figures in annual revenue. She has got some epic insights to share. So just sit back, grab yourself a comfy sofa and a cup of something cozy and enjoy. There we go. So I think we are live, and I've got with me today the lovely, wonderful Ruth Kudzi, who I've been following on her journey for the last two or three years or so, and mega impressed by everything that she's achieved and all the bits and pieces she's been through along the way. And she is our very first Muddy Inspirational guest. So she is here to tell about her story of success today and to inspire us and give us some insights, some honest insights of what it's been like along the way. Welcome, Ruth. Really good to have you here.
Really good to be here.
Tell us, first of all, just about your journey and about your business now and where you're at, and kind of fill us in on the big picture.
Okay. I mean, so right now I run a training business. So Optimus Coach Academy, which is, I mean, it's been incorporated, I think, for nearly 4 years on the dot, where we train people to become ICF accredited coaches. I also have a coaching and mentoring business. And I've just started like a new academy, helping people create really great training programs and experiences. So I've got all of that. Should I talk a little bit about where that came from?
Do that. Dive in.
I'd say that my first paying client was 7.5 years ago, but I'd say that probably about 3 years before that, where I was dillying and dallying and going into my own business. And at that point it was a coaching business, going into my own business, taking a step back, going out, not really feeling confident, especially not in the online world. And this is the thing. Mm. I was a business, like my degree was in business and psychology, my first degree. I was a business teacher. I had worked in recruitment and set up lots of businesses. I was then in education. Set up lots of offices in recruitment, but I was then in education. And I really thought that online business was different. Do you know what? Now, I would say that online business is no different to offline. And I think that's a real limiter that we have, isn't it?
Yeah. So
I eventually set up, did my own coaching business, and that was alongside. So I had my second daughter during that time, and I resigned in November 2016, actually, from my job. So I was on maternity leave. I resigned. So I did that. And so I guess I was doing that for like 3.5 years before I started my own training business. So it was, you know, the coaching business, it obviously, like anything, had ups and downs. I'd say I got pretty consistent by the second year. I was pretty consistent. And I was in a bit of a groove of it. And I was in like all of the, you know, I was going to LA, I was going to Australia, I was in these big things. And there was just something, I was doing okay. You know, by many people's standards, I was doing really well. But there was just something that maybe didn't 100% connect with me. Mm-hmm. I found online difficult. I mean, at the beginning, and I don't know if you resonate, I did have arguments with people online. Like, I just said what I felt. And then I was like, yeah, this is probably about me, not about them. I really need to sort myself out. I had that at the beginning. And then I started my own training business. And in the first year, it did really well. And, you know, we made 6 figures in our first year of business. By the way, that was because I just built another business. That was because I had the audience. That was all of those reasons. That was years and years of work and reputation building and everything else that allowed us to do that.
That overnight success thing, huh?
The overnight success was not overnight. And then the second year, we nine times that. So we nearly 10 times that. Quantum growth, quantum leaps, everything else. And that nearly broke me. And this is the thing that we don't see. Like, yeah, it sounds great. And, you know, and then like we're making 7 figures. And I tell you what, I don't know if it was me psychologically or if it was the people around me, but I found that things really changed. Things really, really changed for some of my relationships. I went from me doing everything with some support, and the went from doing everything with some support to hiring a team, and I got it really wrong. Like, I have some great people that are still with me, so I would say my team now, we've just had someone new start, but everybody else has been with us for 5 years, coming up 3 years, the majority of them, some of them two. So we've got a great team now, but I made so many mistakes. I paid people too much money. So what that meant, I mean, I remember 1 month, and this is my fault, not their fault, right? I paid somebody 3 times as much as I was taking from the business.
Oh gosh.
And I'm like, this has to change. And I also, there was a lot of stuff around me, right? Because like when you're, I wasn't paying people market rate. I was paying people a lot higher than market rate. So first of all, I was doing that. And I think that was because I felt guilt. And I've spoken to quite a couple of other people, actually, who've done this. I felt guilty about making that much money.
Yeah, like, guilty about your success.
Who am I to do this? And and I really didn't want to be. And I really didn't want to be like the person who was kind of like milking all the money. And honestly, my accountant, who's been amazing, who I've been working with for 2 years, I've got a session with her in a minute, actually. She was like, Ruth, you need to pay yourself more. And bear in mind, I was paying myself a really decent amount, right? But not comparatively. Like, actually my team, I was paying myself pretty, like, a tiny bit more. And I don't believe in, like, those places where you pay yourself, you know, loads and loads and loads more. No. Actually, it was there's a fine line. So I made some really bad team decisions. I lost a lot of confidence. I started to doubt my ability, and it impacted my mental health massively, to the extent. And then we were buying a house. You know, everything's not in a vacuum. We were buying a house. We're buying this house now. Took ages. In the end, we had two houses in London. I mean, it was, and people are like, oh, that's amazing. It's like, well, it's not really. Like, I just want that other house on. And, you know, and then we had nightmare tenants. And I'm like, what is the universe telling me? But then that was sold. That was sold about a year ago. So I had lots and lots of stress as well. And I think I had somebody who was very, very toxic and very, very horrible. And it really nearly made me walk away. And I was reflecting on this earlier, because I think we don't ever hear these stories.
No.
And I guess now I can say the story because I'm through it. I mean, this is, and then we made a loss. So last year in our accounts, and we're just about to finish our accounts for this year, we made a loss. But actually, it's not really last year. It was up until about June. So it was a period, I'd say. It was about a six-month period. And that was when I made some really bad decisions. We had too many people in the team. There were lots and lots of factors that led to it. And I felt so bad about that. Like, okay, so this is a training business. It's a bit different to a coaching business. You have got higher overheads and all of that. So bad. I thought, I'm a failure. I'm no good at business. La, 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 la. And then I've spoken to other founders, and it's so normal. Like, most founders will have at least a year where they make a loss. Not in, you know, maybe not in a coaching business, but definitely in other businesses. And again, we don't normalize this. And because we don't normalize this, and everyone online talks about how much money they're making, it makes people feel like they're not good enough. And I felt like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I love that you've just come out there and gone like, and this happened and this happened, and then I made a loss. And you're just so, like, it's part of the picture, and it is totally normal. And it's just something that we don't talk about. And it's almost like this taboo subject. And it does, you then start to think, I'm the outlier. There's something wrong with me because my business isn't working. Or if you're not the one who's making like millions overnight, and you're seeing everybody else have kind of turned up, parked their bum on the online seat and started making like 10K, 100K months within 5 minutes. And because we don't normalize the ups and downs of business, as you say, it's just the biggest kind of mental game, isn't it? And it just makes people feel, gives them reasons to feel like a failure, where they're actually not, they're just doing what's required, and you need to like not get lost in it. But it's just how it's become, isn't it?
It is.
Get through that.
Do you know what? I'm really blessed, and I'm not going to say lucky, I'm going to say blessed, because by having lots of really good people around me. And that is like friends and family who I have had around me for, you know, most of my friends I've known for a long, long period of time. But also there's people online who have become friends. Yeah. Often it was the people who were peers, people who were doing similar things who you connected with. So I'd say I had a really good group of people around me, and my mentor, who I've worked with on and off for 6 years. When I was going through the really bad stuff, I wasn't working with her.
Mm-hmm.
I called her, and she basically drove up to me, had a conversation with me. We went out for breakfast. Like, she did all of these things because she was like, I support you. And I think that was really important. But it's around people. Therapy, and actually being quite kind of being able to get a distance from it and go, right, where did we go wrong, and what have we learned from that? Yeah. And I think that is one of the key things, because actually it feels unsurmountable at times. Like, you're like, there's so many different things, but it never is. And so there were, yeah, there were lots of learnings. Like my accountant was amazing, actually really amazing, that we just started to, I started to look at the numbers in much more detail and make decisions based on those, rather than just making a decision based on my heart or what I thought or all of those things that we're told we have to do. I was like, right, let's actually look at the data and the numbers. So I became much more like a business person, rather than, much more like a business person. I became all of those things that I kind of would speak about to clients, about being strategic, about looking at data, all of those things I started doing much more for myself. And that just changed it. And I actually started having distance from the business as well and seeing it as a business rather than about me.
That's so important, isn't it? Because I think so many of us are emotionally wed to our business to the degree that it really has an impact on us, and we allow it to be like, if something goes wrong, if we lose a client, if we have a bit of a falling out with somebody, it becomes like an emotional slight on us, an insult to us, and we have to almost detach ourselves from it in the way and not let it totally consume our identity. And I'm always saying to clients, it's so important to have other things that you're really passionate about as well, things that bring joy into your life, even when the business is having a hard time, so that you're not just like completely up and down with the whims of the business. I don't know.
And the business isn't your life. Like, you know, people say things like, oh, they're buying me. No, they're not. They're not buying you. They're buying a solution that you offer. And it's really easy as well, like, especially if you're a people pleaser. And I've got ADHD as well, so I've got rejection sensitivity disorder in that too. But when you're a people pleaser, like, you want everyone to have had a great experience. Mm. And, you know, yeah, most people who do our courses have a great experience, 98%. But there's always going to be somebody, right? And the thing is, you need to recognize that that is often not about you. And also acknowledge when it is about you and it's something that you've done, and learn from that. Because again, we're all always learning. But also have that distance to go, right, first of all, these people on the internet, I can't control them. I can't control what they think about me. I can't control what they say about me. But actually, my friends and family, the people that actually know me and really know me, this is what they think. And I think it's really important to get that distinction, because it's so consuming, and we could be online 24/7. And it's really easy to get caught up in all of that stuff. And in a way, it's not real and it is real. So it's like, it's got these two things going on. It's not real in that you're not actually in the room with people, but it can feel very real. And it can feel like, you know, the online space, especially the female entrepreneur space, can feel really... like being back at school. It can, can't it? It can feel a bit like you're either in the in gang or you're not. And I think I've never been in the in gang. So that actually served me really well, that I've never been kind of with all the popular people.
Very much. It's like a melting pot of all that, isn't it? It's like this crucible's the word that comes to mind, where like the best and the worst comes out. And I think it's such a filtered experience as well, and we often forget that, like, we're just seeing the highlights and the things that our social media thinks is relevant and that our brain thinks is relevant, and it all kind of, it's like we're feeling it on a very, very personal, very, very immediate level, and we forget that it's actually a bubble, and there's so much going on out there that's not within that argument or that
And actually, you know, why do people form groups? They form groups probably because they want to belong. So of course, every group is not going to have every person in it, and you can easily make it feel about you, but actually when you take a step back and go, well, these people have formed groups and these people do things together actually because that makes them feel secure. And I don't even really know them, so it would be a bit weird if I was in their group. Then you just get perspective. And I think sometimes this is the thing that we don't have in we don't have when we run our own businesses, is perspective, and often perspective from other people and other business owners, not only like offline business owners as well as online.
That's something I've really stepped into again more recently. Tell us a bit more about your, you said right at the beginning, like online and the real world really aren't that different in so many ways.
So I think like it's still all the same, and you know that like all of the marketing programs that we buy are some variation of the same thing. Like find out who your target audience is, find out where they hang out, spend time with them, speak to them with a proposition that meets their needs, sell it, deliver it, repeat. I mean, that's basically it. Like that's it for any business.
Yeah.
Like, what's your proposition? How does it meet their needs? And then you're looking at the market in terms of how much you priced it and everything else. And it's interesting, a couple of clients recently have been doing cold reach out for corporate. And it works. And people are like, oh yeah, it works. And I'm like, but this is, you know, it's worked for years. It's worked for years and years and years and years. So, you know, it does work. And I think people think now, like online, being on social media, being doing a few posts is sufficient. However, it's not, you know. Nope. It's about building your brand reputation, which you can do online, but you can do offline. It's about being proactive. Everyone, you know, I hear people all the time saying, I'd love customers to come to me. We all would, right? And it's great when they do. And, you know, it's great to have referrals. We have loads of referrals, but we have to be proactive. And of course, you can do that with ads, but you can do that by going to networking. You can do that by literally finding your source organizations, finding out the people to contact and contacting them. And I think I used to work in sales, and that's exactly what we did. And so it's kind of going back to that basics of business development, and people don't talk about that either.
Do you think, like, often in the online world there's quite a lot of rhetoric around like having your mindset in the right place and expecting the flow of clients and it will just start happening and just putting your energy out there and it's all going to fall into place? And I think a lot of that is very true, but you also need to be taking the action. And that's something I've really, like, in recent months kind of gone, right, just give yourself a shake and get on with it and get out there and meet some people and start taking some decisive steps. And I think we really need to, as you were saying earlier, kind of just decide to step back from it all a little bit, not make it about us, but then decide to learn and take that intentional action and start being the boss and start saying, like, I'm going to show up and be the CEO of this thing, make this thing work, and make it all come to me. And as soon as you do that mental switch, I think things really change up. But you can kind of sit there and hope it's going to happen until the cars come home and nothing is going to change.
It is that mental switch, isn't it? It is going, like, I am the CEO. I'm the person who runs this business. Like, what are the things, what are the activities that need to happen this week? And yes, if I'm in the right energy, I'll become magnetic. If I'm, you know, all of those things. But again, you have to be in the right energy with an audience, with a product that is going to make a difference. People don't normally buy something that they don't want or need. And you don't want people, you don't want customers buying your thing that they don't want or need. Because actually, long term, short term, you might get some revenue here. But long term, that's not good for your brand reputation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, what do you think has been your biggest kind of inner stumbling block along the way? Would you say it was that? Or
I think it's, am I good enough? I think it's that, and it's really interesting, isn't it? Because so many people feel like this, like, am I good enough? And we give ourselves all these reasons why we're not. I'm too old. I did management and psychology at university. And do you know, the only people who went straight from uni to having their own businesses were all men. All of my lecturers in management were men. All of the examples that we had were men. This is like the late 90s, right? It's not that long ago. So it's about really, like, it's about letting go of that, actually, and going, like, okay, so I'm not a man, right? I'm older. All of these things that I'm saying are not reasons why not to. I didn't like being on video. I had no social media really when I came online. Eight years ago, I had no Instagram. You know, I was not on social media. I was a deputy head teacher. So you're not on social media. I did have a Facebook account for parties. That was it.
Yeah.
I wasn't on it. And so you have to go, right, I know I have to do these things, and I know that it's me that's stopping me. And you have a choice. And I know that it's harder for some people. I know that you can do hypnotherapy with someone like you, which can definitely help. But you do have a choice. And if you can't get over it yourself, you need to get support, because ultimately we are our biggest blockers.
Totally. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. It's fascinating, isn't it? That the men just kind of go like, I'm just getting on with it. I'm just going to get out there and do the thing and make it happen.
Yeah.
And sweeping generalization, obviously some women do as well, but it's by and large, we like to tie ourselves up in knots, don't we? We like to think about things and really have it planned and perfect before we'll get out there and make the move, and we're very much more aware of what everybody else is thinking of us. And like, coming back to paying the team earlier as well, it's like I'm allowed to be successful, but only if I'm helping everybody else along the way as well. And
there are so
many things tied up in that.
I'm allowed to be successful, but only if I am successful in this way. And I'm allowed to be, all of these rules that we create for ourselves.
So
and will I still be a nice person?
Yeah.
If I pay myself.
Yeah. I can't have that distance between me and everybody else, because then I won't be nice. I won't be accepted anymore.
The thing is,
in my first business too.
And it's ridiculous, because actually, like, if I said to any of my team, if they actually knew what I earn compared to what they earn, they'd probably be like, Ruth, why aren't you paying yourself more? Like, that would be their response. But I think as well, we see things online too, and we think we don't want to be like that. And then we go too far the extreme. Or we think, I don't want people to think of me like that. But actually, what I've recognized is that we can't control that. And there are people who will say horrible stuff about you, whatever you do. And there's no way that you can ever change that. And so actually, running it like a business, being really true to yourself is the only way forward.
Totally. I think it's good to remember as well that we always, like, when we're looking at any kind of negative situation, we always go for like absolute worst case scenario. Our brain's like, this is the thing that might happen, and we forget that there are many other possibilities. Like, what if people actually looked up to me and thought I was amazing for doing what I'm doing?
Yeah, exactly. No, we never go there. We're always like,
we're not allowed that.
They think that I was like this, and what if they think I was greedy, or I was this, or I was that? Yeah, and I think, you know. And the thing is that I also think the media, as well as the online world, paints, especially women, in business, a certain way. And I think that narrative goes into everything that we do. And so it's really normal to feel these things.
Yeah, totally. Just taking you back again earlier in our conversation, you talked about when you first came online, you were quite angry, quite good at picking fights with people. And I would say something I've really noticed in following you over the last year or two is you have just a lovely way of being very poised and getting your point across, and you just don't stir up any kind of antagonism. I don't know, maybe I'm missing the place for you too, but you just don't bother going there, and it's a really rare thing. How do you do that?
Do you know, my clients say to me, because sometimes I write posts and people like self-promote, or they kind of promote their thing on it, and they disagree with me, and they're like, Ruth, how can you just go like, well, obviously what you do is amazing? And I'm like, because first of all, that person coming in, like, they're defending their business, and I get it, right? So it's not about me. Mm. And second of all, I just really can't be bothered. Like, I don't really like conflict anyway. There was so much in my life, like, you know, that I'm like, I wouldn't say that I was angry. I would get involved. I'd get into the narrative when I was first online. So
exactly.
If somebody did something to a friend, I'd say something, or I'd get involved in those piling on things. I don't really see them anymore now. I don't know if they happen. I'm sure they still happen, but I don't really see them because I'm like, well, that isn't really what I want in my life. Like, I was never, you know, I never really fall out with friends. I never really have conflicts in my life outside. And if somebody really has a very different opinion to me, I usually just let it slide. And sometimes I haven't. And actually, nearly 2 years ago, actually, I put a post. I contacted somebody because they had put out a list of coaches, and there were 30 coaches, female coaches, and there was one person who was not white. And I sent them a message, and I wasn't there. First of all, they put it in their group. I commented, and so did other people, and I wasn't the first commentator. The post was deleted. I messaged them, and they saw it, and you could see they saw it, and they didn't respond. Ooh. And then the next morning, I woke up, and I put a post on LinkedIn, and I think it had 100,000 hits. Now, I didn't name them.
Yeah.
But I just said, I'm fed up of this, but also I'm fed up of the fact that you go to have a discussion and you're blocked. And I said, that's what I've got the problem with. Do you know what? And people can probably find out who it is. Her husband, the day that I put the LinkedIn post on, he set up a business called Optimus Coach Academy Limited with Company's House, which is just pathetic. He's like, what, a 50 whatever year old man? They've never filed accounts. Actually, their accounts are late to be due because I'm like, we own the trademark anyway. But that really made me think. There were some people who really, you know, all that needed was a conversation.
Yeah.
All that needed was for you to go to me, actually. And then she was saying that I needed to help her find non-white. And I'm like, no, like that isn't the point. And that was kind of in the middle of buying the house. Everything else going on in the business, and that was a real like, I don't know if I can do this, like, for my own well-being. And it's a really privileged place to be that I don't have to always get into these discussions. I do sometimes get into discussions about things like that, but I'm just, you know, I'm not into this drama. I'm not into this feeling. I'm not into this, like. And it became like they were just not telling the truth. And I'm like I'm 40, like I was 44, I was 43 at the time, actually. I'm 43. Like, I'm just over this. I'm not playing the game. So you can play the game or not play the game. I'm not in the game. Like, there's just no point. So I think that's all of it. I'm just like, and also it detracts from our business. It detracts from our business. If you are looking for investment in your business, and somebody went on your Facebook or your LinkedIn and you're arguing with people, they're not going to invest in you. And ultimately, you know, we want more female businesses which have got investment. We want more female founders that are earning more money. We want all of this stuff. So let's not do that. And let's actually focus on being successful and helping people.
Just imagine like that, all that negative energy that you're piling into those discussions and in being right, you know, and holding your ground and all that egotistical stuff. Like, if you put all that energy into growing your business instead and into supporting other people, just imagine what we could do. And like, yeah, come on, people, put it in the right place.
And the thing is, when you let go of the need to be right, your life is so much easier in every aspect of your life. And obviously, there are some places where it's harder than others and some relationships. But when you realize that actually life is quite gray and sometimes it isn't a right and wrong and sometimes it's about letting go.
Yeah.
Life is nicer.
Completely, completely. Wonderful. So what brings us nicely onto what lessons would you have for anybody else on a similar path? What else would you,
would
you tell yourself 10 years ago?
I mean, 10 years ago, and this is the other thing. I never sat down 10 years ago and went, I'm gonna be a seven-figure business owner. Like, that I didn't think that would ever be my reality, if I'm honest. I think I'll say just believe in yourself and remember that my mum always says this. She always says, like, this too shall pass. And like, she's got various little things that she says like that, but it's true. Like, think about, build support around you, think about who you've got, because those people, and you know, I don't talk about my business to my friends, they don't talk about their work to me. But talk to people, get support, and just believe in yourself. And if you don't, get some help too. Because when you believe in yourself, it is half the battle.
Totally.
It's probably more than half.
Yeah.
80%.
Yeah. I think if you can say to yourself, like, I know where this is heading and I'm just going to trust that it's going to work out and I'm going to keep showing up every day until it does. And you have that kind of level of belief where you're not sitting there each morning and saying, is this really, am I doing the right thing? Am I the right person for this? And you're just like 100% focused on making it work, even if it's not working now, it's going to get there. And yeah, it's so huge, isn't it?
Yeah. And I've never done that. I've never had to go back into the working world over the last nearly 8 years. However, I have had clients who have at times got a contract or a part-time job. And I think, again, if you see that as part of the journey, you'll continue. Those who went, I failed, didn't. So remember again, and that doesn't mean that, like, you know, taking a job is failing at business. It doesn't. But it's about recognizing that your journey is not going to be a straight line. You know, we hear this all the time, but people don't seem to believe it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's like allowing what needs to happen to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
To help you move forward, isn't it? And that doesn't always look like moving forward. Sometimes it looks like moving backwards, but it's still progress and it's still learning. Yeah. And yeah, I would say there have been times over my business where I've kind of like invested in something and it's not worked out or whatever. And you can sit there and sort of say, oh, well, that's that then. I'm rubbish. I might as well not continue. Or you can say, what can I learn from this? Where do I take this next? And just that is like, it's 90% of the battle, isn't it? Keeping doing
that. And not going like, well, it worked for so-and-so. Okay, well, it worked for so-and-so, but it didn't work for you. So
why not me? Yeah.
In a way, get over it and move on, rather than being like, and see what you've learned from it.
Yeah, that's it. Take the power. Yeah. Like you said, you've never really sat there and gone, I'm going to be a seven-figure business owner, so not big on the vision board. Do you have any kind of practices, or do you do any of
that? Yeah, I mean, I do, you know, I do create vision boards. I haven't for a while. No. And I did, like, where we live now, I had this real, so we were living in South London. We've moved to North London, which I was so shocked about because no one ever does that. But anyway, I was really clear I wanted to live in this area, like this really specific area that we live in now. And I was like, I want to live opposite the forest so we can go into the forest. But I thought it would be the end of our road. And it's so funny because when we bought the house, we didn't even realise it was, okay, so it's obviously opposite some grass, right? I don't really know how we didn't realise it was opposite the forest because there are quite a lot of trees and it is quite obvious, but we didn't, but it is completely there. So I imagined it and the house set that it took, so we moved here. Well, it took about a year to move in, but we moved here in the August and we were living in a two-bedroom flat, which was an absolute nightmare. Two-bedroom flat with two of us. My husband had just come into the business, two kids, which was meant to be for a month, and we were there until March 2021. So we were there for like however many months, 7 months. But every day I used to walk past this house and I used to imagine like sitting in this office working. So like I definitely do that. I do a lot of gratitude. I do yoga. I kind of go in and out of meditation, but I've just been doing meditations to get to sleep and I really like that. I journal a couple of times a week, and I work with a therapist, I work with a coaching supervisor, and I work with a coach and mentor. And I think those are the things, like for me as well, it's about keeping myself, like a lot more of my emphasis now is about keeping myself healthy, my mind and my body. And that's more about like diet. I was just speaking to somebody about hormones, like all of that, because I'm in that stage of my life as well. Like,
Yeah, you are. The literal. You've got to be working well, haven't you?
Well, also, you're like, I don't know if this will resonate with anyone. I'm definitely perimenopausal. And I actually think the worst part of my business, when it was really feeling bad, I think I was perimenopausal. I just realised I've got ADHD. I've got all of this other stress as well. And I haven't done anything about it. And so that's really interesting, isn't it? And that's still part of me being like, oh, don't make a fuss. It got to last week and I was like, I need to do something. So I think sometimes as well, we're just not our own, we're not our friends. We're like,
no.
We're like, oh, I'll just keep going. I'll just, you know, I'll be okay. Like, you know, back in the day with our grannies, they didn't do anything.
Totally.
My grandma drank lots of sherry. But
I can tough this out. I'm a survivor. It's almost like it's a failure to admit that we need some support or we need help or we need to not work our guts out today, isn't it? It's it's very ingrained, and it's something I like constantly keep fighting and keep reminding myself to step back and not throw all the beans out.
The work hard narrative in the UK is so massive.
Chronic, isn't it? It is. Last thing, so like where would you love to be? What's next for you? Maybe years down the line.
I think working a bit less. I think so. We're getting Optimus to a stage where next year we're going to take on a CEO. So I won't be doing that role. And so I will be able to do a bit less. But I am kind of then building out this other academy and I am kind of working with a startup. But I think I thrive on variety. I thrive on anything different. I'd like to pay off my mortgage in the next 4 years. So that's a big goal. And we'd like to spend half our time in Ghana and half our time in the UK. That would mean obviously Ghana's the same time zone, but actually I'd like to work a bit less. So I think my big goal, like this time next year, I'd like to be working 3 days a week.
Yeah.
Equivalent of 3 days a week. And that's the big thing. And income wise, I mean, I can say I want to double what I pay myself, and actually I could do that for my business now. So I'm going to say double what I pay myself, because that is just ridiculous. So that is definitely going to be one of those things as well.
Right. Yes. I love that realization. Excellent. Yeah. It's all about that, like, time and quality of life though, isn't it? It's so, so huge. I think that's why most of us are doing this deep down in our hearts, and to have that like intention really clear and know exactly where you're headed with that, that's fab. So good luck with that. Thank you so much for coming to talk to us today. It's been lovely, and I could just like carry on picking your brains all day. Thank you for sharing so honestly, and lovely to have had you here.
Well, thank you very much so much for having me.